Mickey Hart here. You're listening to the GAA Football Show.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing houses for f***ing 10 years.
Hello and welcome to the GAA Football Show brought to you by AIB. I'm Conan Doherty and unfortunately there's no Willie today, but we'll just have to power on without him. I am joined with Stephen McDonnell in the studio. Steve, we haven't talked about the Armagh forwards in about 10 days. You must be dying to get it out.
I'm absolutely gutted. No, we'll leave that for maybe later on in the show. We'll get on with more important things maybe.
It's a real Ulster fest today. I'm looking forward to it.
It is. So we can't be listening to Wally in our ears slagging off Ulster football, you know. So at least we've got a big final to look forward to this weekend, Tyrone and Down, which is sure to be a cracker.
Well, we do a preview just a couple of days early and just talk about the Ulster final instead of last week.
You know, I think while we're here, why not?
It means we won't get to chat about the Laois Minors though, which is a real shame. Like, but did you hear what he said to me on Thursday? Patrick Joyce is on the phone and we were previewing the Roscommon Galway game, and Willie said to me twice, I ignored it the first time, and he said to me, the Connacht Championship's harder to win than the Ulster Championship.
That is a laugh. that definitely is a laugh. Roscommon were almost guaranteed their passage to the Connacht final this year. You know, they've done tremendously well. Yes, they're of course winning it, but you know, when you're guaranteed, if any Ulster team was guaranteed a passage to an Ulster final, wouldn't it be great?
Yeah, if anybody started in the semi-final, wouldn't it be great?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Ulster's brilliant, isn't it?
Absolutely fantastic.
No, but like, coming up on the show, we do have another Ulster man. Darren Hughes from Monaghan's going to take a call, and we've got Enda Smith, Jesus, from Roscommon. He was unreal.
Absolutely
on Sunday. My God,
yeah.
Like, you talk about, we were talking all week about the Galway midfielders and stuff, but this man, and I don't even mean competing in there and winning high balls, but going back, driving on the boys. He doesn't look that big, but I bet you feel it when he hits you.
He's not actually that big, but what he is, he's got real good leadership quality, so he has, and he's only 22. You know, and for such a young player to show those leadership qualities in a team that were, you know, real underdogs getting into that match yesterday, you know, is fantastic to see. But you know, you have to say Roscommon in all, and great credit to Kevin McStay. You know, he took a lot of abuse throughout the course of the National League from ex-players and people from within the Roscommon, and you know, his point was always saying, you know, judge me after the championship, and I'll tell you what, he's got a Connacht title under his belt now, and you have to give him great credit.
Yep, Enda Smith is on later on. He's talking about sort of rallying behind Kevin McStay after the abuse he got. But I feel like we should start with Roscommon and an apology from the GAA to everybody in Roscommon. I mean, I was sitting in Saturday and I was absolutely chuffed to myself. Every single prediction that I made came up. Willie got a couple wrong, which made it even better. Even the outside bets were all coming through. Like, I had Donegal to beat Meath, I had Tipperary to beat Cavan. You know, sitting.
Well, thankfully, I wasn't here on Thursday for the predictions then.
Sitting with a big smile on my face, thinking to myself, you know, Stevie and Willie never gave me any credit. You know, they said I wasn't a championship player, but here I am now. Look at me go. Then comes Sunday, the team who I didn't even bother talking about, Roscommon, absolutely blew Galway away. And, like, it wasn't even like I disrespected. Well, I actually completely disrespected Roscommon because I didn't bother talking about them. I didn't have a dig at them or anything like that, but I just said, I can't see how they're going to win, let's move on, sort of thing. And look what they turned around and did. We get complete apology to people of Roscommon.
And you know, you look at their season and you would have every reason to write them off, you know, given the way they've performed so far this season. Very much in line with how Down have performed as well. But, you know, championship football's all about putting in performances and getting results. And, you know, you have to give great credit to Roscommon. They went with an appetite and a hunger for that match yesterday, and Galway just couldn't match it. And even when Galway came back to within 3 points in the second half, Roscommon always had an answer for them and went up the field and produced scores, you know, when they really badly needed them, against the elements as well. So, you know, credit has to be given to Roscommon for how they performed yesterday, given the circumstances of the weather as well, and, you know, against, you know, an onslaught from Galway as such in the second half, but we'd stood the you know, the pressure from them and kicked on and won convincingly in the end.
Pat Spillane. I mean, you feel sorry for this boy. You know, he's off TV for a week and people are coming on and they're slagging him, and you know, it doesn't seem right that he's not there to defend himself, and you're starting to think, ah, poor Pat. Then he comes back on TV and you're like, how did I feel sorry for him? It starts off on Saturday where he's at the Mayo Clare game and he's talking about Aidan O'Shea playing in full forward against Derry, which didn't happen once, didn't happen in one play, never mind for 1 minute, which is fine, like, you can forgive him for that. But then he's at the Galway Roscommon match, and at half time Michael Lester says to him, because it's obviously a dull enough game, it's low scoring, there's awful conditions there, as you mentioned, Michael Lester says to him, now Pat, you infamously described a match a couple of years ago as puke football, any advance on that? Pat replies, no Michael, I've decided in recent times, sort of like the conversion of St Paul on the road to Damascus, if I see something bad now, I see the goodness in everything. My glass is always half full. I'm going to plead the Fifth Amendment, and in the words of the song, you say it best when you say nothing at all, so I'll give it a miss. I mean, he's just, you know, being real sarcastic there, because yeah, he thinks people want him to be positive. Nobody wants him to be positive all the time.
People want an honest opinion, and that's what they want to hear. And you know, whether it's you know, everyone sees things differently, and Pat Spillane is no different than you, whatever. We all see things through our own, you know, eyes, and that's the way it is, and we have to call a spade a spade, and Pat Spillane generally does that, you know. I would have loved to have been there when he was introduced to Desi, when they met with each other again at the weekend, because they were both on the Sunday game yesterday analysing pre and a half time of the match, so I would have loved to see how uncomfortable Desi was as well, you know, meeting up with Pat once again. But certainly, you know, you look at the first half yesterday, it was a disappointing first half of football, but we got one of the best goals of the season, if not the best goal of the season, from Roscommon. So that for me was enough to talk about throughout the course of the half time analysis.
This idea that he doesn't want people to say something looks bad, you know, and wants instead to say it's great, is bullshit. Like, people want them to analyse the bloody match, and like, here he was at half time of a unbelievable ambush. Like, Roscommon had risen out of nowhere, they were well ahead against Galway in the Connacht final. Talk about the match. We don't want you driving around the country and giving a thumbs up or thumbs down or whether or not you're enjoying yourself. No one cares if you're enjoying yourself or not.
And there was enough games on over the weekend to suggest that, you know, football is improving. You know, there's high scores throughout every game, so there's some fantastic scores being kicked. And so let's talk about that. Let's talk about the positives. And for me, I'll emphasise again, the goal scored in the first half for Roscommon. The crossfield ball was inch perfect. You know, it absolutely cut out the cornerback. Yep. And what a finish. Cool, calm, collective finish. It reminded me actually of Peter Canavan's finish in the All-Ireland final of 2005. Just a side foot into the corner, bottom corner of the pitch, or of the goal. And that's exactly what you want from your corner forwards in that particular time. You know, you want them to stay composed, stay calm, and just slot the ball in. And that's exactly what happened.
Where do you stand on pitch invasions? Because we've seen a lot of them this weekend. Like, I'm always wondering, like, what an actual inter-county player thinks of them, because it looks great on TV, and I hate it when they took it away. But now I'm thinking, would a player rather just celebrate with his team instead of having some drunk
pitch invasions? Are brilliant. You know, when you represent your county, you represent everyone, not only the players that you're playing alongside, you represent the supporters and the fans who pay good money in to see and support their team. So let's give them an opportunity to get on and you know, celebrate victories, hard fought victories with their team. And you know, for me personally, any time that we won anything, I always loved the pitch invasions, because you're mingling with supporters, you're getting a real good buzz out of it. So you are, and it's fantastic from a player's point of view, actually see, you know, what it really means to the supporter, because there's a lot of emotion it comes out in pitch invasions as well. And it's fantastic to see the highlights last night of the Sunday game. You've seen the Roscommon supporters driving onto the pitch at the end of the match.
They were all waiting along the sideline,
which is brilliant to see. But what really stood out for me was the two adults in the clip. You know, they were more ecstatic than what the kids were, and that's fantastic, because, you know, it means the world to supporters to actually see their county team kick on and get massive results and to win silverware like Roscommon done yesterday. So why not give them the opportunity to kick on and get onto the pitch and celebrate with their players? Coming off the back of the weekend as well, I have to say, what I really, really loved being down in Westmeath on Saturday night, at half time of that match, the pitch was, there was hundreds, I mean hundreds of kids.
A half-time invasion.
Hundreds of kids allowed on the pitch by the Westmeath board, and you have to give them great credit for that there, because, you know, it was an opportunity for the kids to go out, have a bit of fun at half-time, kick balls around, kick balls into the net, kick balls over the bar. Fantastic opportunity for the kids to go and enjoy themselves, and even parents were out in the field kicking balls with their kids as well. And it's brilliant to see. I was actually thinking, how on earth are they ever going to get all these kids off the pitch on time? But there was an announcement made. The stewards come in, and within the space of 60 seconds they're all gone, and that for me is fantastic. Something that we don't see actually enough in Ulster. And you know, maybe we're looking after our pitches too much, but you know, what damage is really going to be caused to the pitch?
The pitches in Ulster are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah. But what damage is going to be caused at half time of any game? You know, let the kids on, let them enjoy themselves, you know, pay good money in, parents pay good money in, so you know, it's an opportunity for the kids to really live in the moment of a championship match as well.
Speaking of the Armagh Westmeath game, what the hell was your problem on Saturday? I'll read out two tweets from you on Saturday night. I agree that Armagh must improve on their tackling, but it's time action was taken on inept performances from referees, shambolic and biased. Alright, that's the first one.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like he sort of stepped away from the phone, said, it can't do any good, I'll just leave it at that. 2 hours, 52 minutes later, you pick up the phone again, open up Twitter. Players and managers are poor games and they are hung out to dry. Not much ever done for poor refereeing. Time for change at the Sunday game, if you put it them on.
Well, there's a lot of frustration here, and I don't think I'm alone. You know,
Pádraig O'Sullivan from Kerry was a referee, is that right?
Pádraig O'Sullivan. I've never seen him referee a game before, but my frustration is coming off the back of a club game that I was involved in on the sideline with on Thursday night as well. There was an incident in the first half of that particular game where one of our players went through about to pull the trigger, and you know the type of incident, he's clipped from behind, he falls to the ground, and no free is given. It was actually a clear cut free, so it was nothing given. In the second half, our opponents, last 5 minutes of the game, a wee bit further out, exact same incident happened, a free is given. Total frustration from our point of view. I go to the referee afterwards to ask him to explain to me the difference between the two incidents. He went all defensive, so he did, and started mumbling out, you know, trying to explain that there was totally, they were totally different incidents, and one was totally different to the other. Which in fact, the one for our own team was a worse incident, and the free wasn't given. So there was frustration from that. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the county match that I was at, supporting my own county, but working at it as well. And you have to be a neutral, which I was. I didn't see the Jamie Clark incident at the time, but I got enough feedback on it to suggest that it wasn't a black card.
I thought it was a black card.
Watching the Sunday game last night, there's no way that's a black card. Absolutely
a
no
body,
way.
A body check, third man tackle?
It was shoulder to shoulder. It wasn't a body check.
It was about 5 seconds late though, wasn't it?
It was not 5 seconds late. There is no way. 15 seconds into a game, into a championship game, common sense has got to prevail. You know, the number six, the centre half back for Westmeath, which wasn't shown last night on the Sunday game, gave away a clear cut free and a clear cut black card, and he was yellow carded. Adds to the frustration. Armagh players were any type of contact alone, and I'm making it quite clear now, Armagh have got to improve in their tackling. There's no doubt about it. They conceded far too many frees on Saturday evening, and John Heslin scored point after point from frees, and with a man like that there, you know, he's going to always punish you. Michael Quinlevin, Conor Sweeney this week will absolutely pulverise Armagh if they concede the type of frees that they were conceding on Saturday night. But the Kerry man who is officiating the match, Pádraig O'Sullivan, he didn't allow any type of contact at all from Armagh, and he was very inconsistent in terms of giving frees towards Westmeath in comparison to what Armagh were getting. And this is not a bias towards my own county. You know, I'll call a spade, and I try to be as neutral as I possibly can. But that performance from an inter-county referee was shambolic, to say the least.
I think in his defence, though, like you were saying, about 15 seconds into the game, that should be irrelevant, should it not? You know, if he thinks it's a black card, if it's a black card offence, I thought there was definitely a claim there for it. Like, it should, I think the rules should be applied no matter what time of game
it
is.
If that had been John Heslin given the same tackle on an Armagh player, I would have said absolutely no way is that a black card. Call a spade a spade. There has to be a certain amount of contact in our game. We're taking the contact away from the game. You watched the Munster hurling final yesterday. You look at boys clipping each other left, right and centre. Referees allowing it to go. You look at even before the referee throws a ball in. The two half back lines and half forward lines are in on top of midfield. You know, you imagine the Ferrari that there would be with a football match in that circumstances. You know, I think it's time that, you know, referees, after poor performances, are really held accountable. You know, in the past, too often, a poor performance warrants a referee getting the next game. And, you know, if you play bad as a player, you're dropped off the team, so you are for the next game, more than likely, you know. So at the end of the day, you know, inter-county referees have to be held accountable. And I understand the hard job that they have, and I totally feel for them in that respect. That's why I've been saying for the last couple of years that they should have more help, maybe two referees. It's time for two referees in our game, one referee on one side of the pitch, the other referee on the other side of the pitch, and give them an easier task in hand and let them referee their side, and whatever goes, goes.
Yeah. And what about the Mayo game? Did you see that? Like, David Goff loves a full forward. Jeez, did he ever referee a game you were in?
He probably did. I can't really remember. I'm gone from the game now at inter-county level 6 years. But
everyone's watching the match. Yeah. You know, they're watching the game out in midfield, and all of a sudden the whistle's blown and Goff is sprinting into the full forward line. He's caught some fullback pulling back.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough. You know, if a defender is naive enough to think that he can get away with pulling off the ball, you know, I'm happy enough for the referee to spot a free and move it all the way into the full forward line, because being a full forward or a corner forward myself, you know, happen quite often, and too often it's not, you know, picked up on. So I would give David Goff great credit for noticing and spotting incidents like that there and moving balls in. It happened against Armagh on Saturday night as well, and you know, on those occasions, absolutely applaud Padraig O'Sullivan, because he spotted it and it was, you know, fouling being taken place from an Armagh defensive point of view. So, yeah.
Mickey Hart was raving about David Goff after the Donegal-Tyrone game, and he was very good in that game, in fairness to him. But there were two incidents that a lot of Clare people have pointed out. The first one was Brendan Harrison, looking like a bit of a body slam. he seemed to know how to move his body to get out of that tussle.
And I only seen that last night in the Sunday game, and it was a shocking incident, being honest. You know, if that happened to me, you know, I'd be well annoyed, you know. And Colin Cooper said last night it could have caused spinal injury, which it could have caused spinal injury. You know, you'd be disgusted if you seen that happening in a rugby game, and players are cited for doing that type of spear tackle in rugby games. So, you know, while the player was reprimanded at the time, you know, I think, you know, the GAA maybe should look at an incident like that a wee bit closer and maybe take it a step further as well.
What about, just to play devil's advocate though, like, I mean, it looks like he's about to be put in a headlock and he's reacting to that. Now, I don't know who instigated the whole, like, sort of coming together to start off with. Sometimes you would blame the defender in instances like that, but it looked like just an off the ball sort of argy-bargy, and then he's about to get put in a headlock and he reacts. Now, he probably reacted very extremely.
The Clare players are no angels in this type of scenario, you know, because they were involved as well. But it was the manner in which the Clare player was lifted and thrown and speared to the ground, you know, where he went head first, you know, and that can cause serious long-term injury, if not paralysis, you know. Let's be honest. You know, so you've got to really look at that there type of incident and say, you know, there's no place in our game for anything like that whatsoever, and let's get rid of it.
And Killian O'Connor one looked a bit more innocuous. He seemed to make contact with the face, but was it more of a push than a punch?
Yeah, I think it was more of a push.
That old classic where you sort of push your fist in his chin and push.
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, Killian O'Connor, he's an experienced player, and you can't lift your hand. You really can't lift your hand like that there. And if you do, you've got to expect to be reprimanded for it. So, you know, he can count himself lucky.
It was a dramatic weekend, to say the least. Coming up next, we've got Enda Smith from Roscommon on the line.
I've had fellas follow me, and not just Cork lads, you know what I mean? It happens. And it does happen, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a lonely spot, and the best thing you can do is keep moving. And I thought Connolly looked to be trying to do that the last time.
The camera show didn't look great. There was maybe they could say it was theatrical or whatever, but like, the reality is that there was contact, and I wasn't trying to win a penalty, I was trying to go out and win the ball.
You know, actually it's funny, your man Conan, what's his name, on your programme, like, I was wondering, was he at the same match as me? He was kind of making out terrible and unlucky to lose, like. Let's go. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50%
AIB, back in club and county.
All right, I'm delighted to say I've got one of the stars from yesterday's performance, Enda Smith, on the line. Enda, you must have a sore head, do you?
I felt for sure like going in, yeah. No, but it's a good sore head today. definitely after yesterday, it's all good.
What time were you out to last night?
I think I finished up maybe 3:30 or 4:00 now, so Scotland was rocking last night. So, yeah, it was late enough.
You had a big big welcome home party as well, like the town was packed, was it?
Yeah, it was brilliant. Yeah, we stopped on the way home in different clubs in Port Pierce's, Shannongale, St Bridget's and St Dominic's on the way home, and then came back to Roscommon Town at about 11 o'clock and a huge crowd greeted us there. Surreal, you know, I never really experienced that as a player. I remember back when the Miners won in 2006, being in the crowd when they came back and the homecoming was unreal, and just to be part of it now on the other side was a great experience.
I was just going to say that must be surely your best achievement to date. Now, I know you captained the Miners before, but that must be the very top, is it?
Yeah. Oh, it is. That's definitely anything. Like, minor and under 21 level and college level are brilliant. They're great to win, but I think senior level is it's where you'll be most remembered, and to do that's definitely the pinnacle of my career so far. Yeah.
Is that what they call an ambush, Enda? Because no one was really giving you a chance, was it?
Yeah, I think it was. You know, even just reading papers all week and just listening to different journalists. You know, no one really gave us a chance. Even at home, the people in Roscommon, you know, they were hoping for the best, but didn't really think we would. The way the league went for us and the way the league went for Galway, and after a big win against Mayo, you know, they were a really hot favourite and there was no real, I suppose, chat about us at all, which is brilliant. And definitely an ambush, I think, is the correct term for it.
And how does a group approach that? Like, does it sort of piss you off when you're preparing all week and no one's talking about you, or are you genuinely happy just that you can just slide under the radar?
It's funny, like when you're in the bubble, you don't really take notice of, you know, what other people are saying. You see it, but you don't really. I don't think it really affects you as a player. We knew ourselves within the group. You know, we if we play to our potential, we'd be right in it. And we knew. I know performances in the league were poor, but there was one or two performances that. I think the Donegal game, we were quite close to them, and Kerry, we were close to them, and obviously the win against Cavan, that we weren't that far off in those games. And I know there was a few bad losses as well, but we knew ourselves, we did have belief, and we had a long break this year. We had 11 weeks off from the league to the championship, and, you know, got a lot of good work in there, and just quietly went about our business, I suppose, and it set us up nicely for yesterday, and we were confident, we were quietly confident in ourselves, and like I said, 9 points, like it definitely wasn't expecting a 9-point win, but I think on the basis of the game, I think it was deserved anyway, the 9 points.
So nothing was pinned at a changing room wall? You probably had too many things to pin at a changing room wall?
Yeah, no, definitely nothing pinned at a changing room wall, nothing, nothing like that.
I think so McStay wouldn't have tried to get a sort of reaction out of you in that sense?
No, he wouldn't. Kevin, no, he'd fairly stick to, I suppose, what he can control himself, you know, the football inside tactics, training and that. Wouldn't really listen to, I suppose, the outside noise as such. He was very focused on just the group and on ourselves, really. Just drilled it in, gave us massive belief, even when things weren't going well in the early part of the year. Just kept believing in us and gave us massive belief in himself and Liam. Mikhail were excellent for that really throughout the year, kept lads in good form. Like the team was, there was a good buzz around the team, even when the results weren't going our way, there was a good buzz about the place.
Do you think yesterday would have been some sort of personal vindication for you almost, because you would have heard throughout the week and the 2 weeks about how great this Galway midfield are and how strong they are in the middle third? Like, you know, would that have sort of give you a bit of motivation going in?
Yeah, definitely. That was all the talk, really. Even I think yourselves, we were chatting about it last week on the show. It was the game was probably going to be won or lost, and you know, all we do have a very formidable midfield in Paul Conroy and Fintan O'Curry, and would have like played against them before, and they are quality players. But myself and Tyke, you know, we we knew that was going to be the win of the game, really, midfield, especially the conditions as well, Salt Hill. Like, a lot of, we knew to try to go long and target their kickouts as a place they could really use their platform for delivering the ball inside to their forwards. But so myself and Tig just, you know, we just gritted the teeth and just went at it. And just, I think we were very happy ourselves with how it went. And, you know, once we got a foothold there, you know, the left hand side, Jeremy and Keane and Kieran then really stole the show then with their scores and that.
What about that pass from Jeremy Murta? You must have watched that back, have you?
Ah, class. Yeah, class act. That was brilliant. You know, just didn't, quick look, quick turn. And it was, I think it was only, like, that came from a kick out, I think. I came from the corner, and I think it was two kick passes into Keane, and Keane and lovely finish on the floor. Yeah, the pass though was beautiful.
I heard Kevin McStay during the year, I think it was before the championship started, he was saying that he still firmly believes that Roscommon are a top 8 team, and people might laugh at him, but he knows that's where they are. Like, is that something that you all go along with as well?
I think so. I know, like, Kevin, you know, he'd have been on the outside of Roscommon football for a long time. He's living in the town here. And, you know, he would have seen, I suppose, players developing and up through the years. And obviously when he took Bridges, he got a closer look at Roscommon football, club football. And Kevin is, like, Kevin's a wise good man. He knows his football very well. I think now, since he's taken us over, I think he might see, I think he sees the quality he has at his disposal. It's all good and well saying that, you know, we're kind of sick in Roscommon about hearing about all our underage success and not being turned into senior level. But it is about the players then and ourselves to really do the business then when we get to senior level. And, you know, yesterday, thankfully we did. It was a huge performance. You know, some of the Roscommon performance that probably hasn't been seen in a long time. You know, I think it's the first time we beat Galway since 2001. And the first time we beat Galway in Salt Hill in, I think, 30 years. So that just shows the size of the performance yesterday, you know.
And I saw 11 of the team that started yesterday are under 23. I mean, is that making you boys feel a little bit greedy now, thinking about long term?
Well, you have to know about greedy now. We'll take this one anyway, and then we'll see. We'll enjoy this one. But it is a very young squad. That was highlighted a lot even last year, how young the squad was. But, you know, I think the lads are young, all right, but we've been around the panel for a few years now. I think this is my fifth year. And my brother Donal, he's on 6 years. He's just a year older than me. And then there's Kieran Murta, this is his fourth season, I think. Jeremy, his fourth season. So we've been around a few years now. I know we're quite young, but John Evans drafted a lot of young lads, and he really led us into the team when he came in, and he believed in us. I suppose it did take a while. There was a few harsh lessons there. We did get a few bad beatings, and beatings hard to come back from, I suppose, the last few years. But like days like yesterday make it all worthwhile, really.
And what was the dressing room like at half time yesterday? I mean, you went a period in the first half without scoring. You had that big win. Were you a little bit nervous that maybe you didn't capitalise enough?
Yeah, there was definitely a stage. I know. I think we were maybe 6-1 up at the time, and we'd five bad wides in a row. And yeah, I think I lost a ball myself coming in down the middle that I could have made something out of. And yeah, it did cross my mind definitely, maybe for a split second or that. I hope we don't regret these. But then I think Keane got the goal then, and that settled us and nearly energised us again. And the goals did come at the right time. And then Stackey's goal in the second half, that was after Galway had kicked 2 or 3 in a row, and that really settled us again. And I know Galway kicked on a bit, but we always had that cushion of 3 or 4. I think they got in 3 was the closest they got to us. So once we had that cushion, and like, we just had to kind of, for every 1 or 2 points they got, we just kind of had to get one ourselves. Maybe if that was a free or, you know, a quick break or a score. I think we did that well the last 15 minutes. I think we swapped scores until we pulled away in the end. So it was great in that sense.
And what was the chat like at the break? It wasn't a case of let's try and protect this lead now. Were you thinking about pushing on?
No, definitely not. Yeah, it was very much push on, let's win by as much as we can. I think we were 7 up at half time. We wanted to kick on big time. Like, we knew the first 15 minutes would probably, they'd come at us a lot, and they did. But like I said, I suppose the mistakes from their goalie with the kick out, the goal then was a really did settle us in the second half. I think we needed it because we were a bit flat the start of the second half. But no, at half time it was all right, lads, let's make this as big as we can. There was no sense of, you know, dropping them back. We did, obviously we had Niall sweeping at times, but there was no sense of him being a full-time sweeper. It was push up on your man and let's make him kick it long, you know.
And how much of that performance would have been would you have sort of dedicated to Kevin McStay? Like, you know, it's well documented that he's gotten a bit of stick and most of it's been ridiculous in the county, but yeah, like, you know, would that have been sort of something that bonded the team together and said, let's do this for the manager?
Yeah, definitely. I know we're a very, very close-knit bunch, and you know, like, would have seen and read and heard all the stuff that had been said about Kevin, and, you know, about him being a Mayo man and how can he manage a Roscommon team. Like, you know, it's a lot of rubbish like that, but, you know, it's like, we've massive respect for Kevin McStay and everything he's done for us. You know, we really did believe in him. Like, there was no sense of, and I know a couple of players left throughout the league, but I think that was just personal stuff. It wasn't anything to do with, I don't think it was anything to do with Kevin himself. It was just themselves that just didn't feel they were, I suppose, fitting into the team or not going as well as they thought they were. And but it was nothing to do with Kevin. Like, we had fully backed Kevin, the players who were there, and you seen it yesterday. Like, that was a massive performance, and Kevin, like, was definitely in a way for him. Do you know all the grief he suffered over the last 5 or 6 months?
Have you been in contact with any of those lads, or any of them a little bit raging that they missed out on yesterday?
Well, I'd fairness, no, there's a few of them in America, right? A few Snapchats and that, and all wishing as well. In fairness,
yeah,
probably with a tongue in cheek, but I know we're happy enough anyway.
I don't want to make you blush too much, Enda, but, like, you know, obviously I think you were the standout performer yesterday. I mean, you had Colin Cooper raving about you last night on the Sunday game. I mean, how do you react to that sort of coverage that you're getting?
I suppose it's, you know, it's nice. It's definitely nice to hear it. You know, from the Gooch especially, you know, he'd be someone I would have looked up to as a player growing up. But I know I was just really concentrating on myself, you know, the last few weeks. Like you said, there was a lot of talk about their midfield, but I knew myself that if I just got myself right and worried about my own performance, that I'd be able to match it with their midfield, with Conroy or Corrine. And, you know, thankfully it did go well on the day. Got a couple of early balls at the start of the game, really settled me, and, you know, kind of that was the platform from there. And, you know, it did go well in the end, and it's definitely a good feeling now, no doubt.
And you're looking at Donegal, Mayo or Cork in the quarter final. Jesus, like, he must be sort of licking your lips a little bit.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that now. You know, it was definitely a good win yesterday, but Donegal, Mayo, Cork, you know, they've been at the top table in the last 5 or 6 years consistently, so this is kind of new territory for us. Look, it's a great opportunity for us, but we won't be taking anything for granted, definitely, against any of them. They've huge experience of being in that position. We're just new to the game, I suppose, but you know, we'll enjoy these few days and then go back to work hard now for the next few weeks, and we'll give it a good crack whoever we get in the quarterfinal.
I was just going to ask, what's the plan for the rest of the day? More celebrating?
Yeah, probably meet up with a few lads now later on, and enjoy it for another day anyway, and see you then. Yeah, definitely.
Well, thanks very much, Enda, and I'll let you go get a glass of water here for that throat.
Thanks very much, Rikoki. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
See ya. Yeah, great stuff there from Enda Smith. I mean, very interesting that he's talking about how everyone was speaking about the Galway midfield beforehand, and he almost took that as an insult himself, you know, because he's obviously a midfielder, and Jesus, he went out and showed what he could do, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And what Molly loved to be here, you know, he's a real admirer of this Galway team,
I don't think Galway are going to win the All-Ireland in the next 3 years, like he has said about 4 times.
Well, I wouldn't rule them out in 3 years, you know, but they've got quality players, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, the problem that they face is, and it happened last year as well, one decent victory, you know, has been followed by a poor performance. And, you know, we've seen that yesterday. You know, to win 2 Connacht titles in a row should have been enough motivation and incentive, and on their own pitch as well, to drive that Galway team forward. But to be fair to Roscommon, they were the team coming up with the answers, and you have to hand it to, I have to give great credit to Kevin McStay. He really had his troops and well in charge from the offset in that match yesterday, and well up for it, and you could see their hunger and desire and tenacity and going for every ball, that you know they weren't going to get beat yesterday.
Yeah, like Enda said, it was an ambush. He called it an ambush. Normally players would play that sort of thing down, but I don't think anybody anywhere in Ireland were talking about Galway or talking about Roscommon winning this match.
Yeah, and maybe that's a wee bit foolish as well, because they have had quite a bit of success at underage level over the past number of years. You know, you reverse the clock maybe 14 months and they were beating teams in Division 1 of the National League, going to Kerry and beating Kerry down there and beating top quality teams, and then you know the second half of the season it kind of dwindled away and they lost form. This season obviously the rules were reversed. They had a poor league campaign, but you know they're producing the goods in the championship, and that's the time they really produced them. And Kevin McStay, after receiving heavy criticism from Gay Sheeran earlier on in the season, you know, about his you know his right to be Roscommon manager, come out with a classic and said, you know, judge me after the championship. And you know, you have to say that he's won a Connacht title, and you have to give him great credit. He is a man that has a great reputation as a manager and has achieved great success as a manager, so you know he's got to be well respected, and he's, you know, his opinion has to be heard, and you know he had them boys believing in themselves yesterday, and for a team going in as underdogs to have them believing the way he had them believing in yesterday, it takes remarkable effort and belief from the manager to get the point across as well.
They looked a lot better set up than Galway. I'm not too sure what Galway were trying to do. I mean, we always talked earlier in the year about how they were too defensive, but they've certainly gone away from that entirely. Like, and like you look at Roscommon yesterday, and they always seemed to have Mullooly and they had Murray, you know, in front of the fullback line all the time. They had that sort of anchor there where Galway couldn't get the ball through, and then they reacted by bringing Damien Comer out the field far too early.
Yeah. They played a sensible game. You know, they provide a cover to their full back line because Galway have a dangerous inside line, and when they overturned Galway, they attacked at speed, and you know, like Shawnee McDermott, you know, one of the elder statesmen in the team, driving forward time after time, Devaney getting up, kicking points time after time. You know, it was fantastic to see that there, and you know, in the modern day game you need driving wing half backs, and that's exactly what Roscommon had yesterday, but in the knowledge that there's protection for the full back line as well.
And I mean, I thought, like, obviously the first goal was stunning. I mean, that left footed ball in was great. The run, the movement was super. The finish, Colin Cooper esque. You said, yeah. Peter Canavan earlier. But I thought the second goal, Brian Stacks, he won from the kick out. It's almost summed up the arrogance, if I could say it, of Roscommon. Like, the real belief, this boy's 20 years old. It's his second ever championship match. Catches the ball in midfield. He's won a mark. You think, right, just pop the mark off now. He just drives straight through the Galway back line, keeps going and just drills in the bottom corner.
But the whole centre of the Galway defence opened up for him, so why not keep driving? You know, for a young player who has plenty of pace and pace to burn, you know, to be driving forward way down, and I think he actually took it solo off his right foot and kicked the shot with his left foot, which is brilliant to see as well, you know. But it shows the belief in a young player at that particular time of the match, because Galway were making headway into coming back at Roscommon, and you know the confidence and arrogance for such a young player to go for goal at that particular time. You know, you would have expected him, okay, yes, the centre of the Galway defence is opening up, but I'm going to chip a point over the bar just to keep the scoreboard ticking over for us here. Now, no, he went for the juggler, and that's what you want in a player. You know, you want to see them taking chances and taking risks, and really, you know, hitting the onion bag when the opportunity presents itself, and that's what he done. But I want to talk about Connolly's goal again.
I think
his movement as well was fantastic. He checked in behind his man and then checked left. And the crossfield delivery was inch perfect in horrendous conditions, but you know the way he controlled the ball under those circumstances has to be applauded as well, because it's difficult when a ball's being driven in like that at pace, and you want your corner forwards to hold on to that ball first time. He done exactly everything right, what you want for a corner forward in that particular time. And remember, this is a Connacht final. This is where there's pressure, serious pressure on any forward to perform. And you know, he sidestepped his forward then, and as cool and as calm as you could ever be, slipped the ball into the bottom corner, and there was no way that the Galway goalkeeper was ever going to get to it.
Galway goalkeeper didn't have the best of games, did he? I mean, obviously he was under instruction, but I couldn't understand why they weren't going long. He kept playing it short. I think actually the first time he played it long. And now I understand there was a big wind against his face, but so what? He's still the better midfield. So hit it up. First time I hit it up was after 13 minutes. O'Kareen goes up, catches the ball. Galway end up getting their first score from play. But they didn't do that enough. They kept going short and put themselves under pressure.
Yeah, and Galway, probably more so than most teams, have a habit of producing huge, humongous midfielders. So why not put the ball out on top of him? Conroy is a massive, massive man as well. So put the ball out on top of him and see if they're going to go and fetch it, you know. But time after time, he decided to go short. But Roscommon pressurised him to and forced him into turnovers and got a few scores off the back of it as well. And, you know, that dents the confidence of a goalkeeper as well. And sometimes then, once that happens, you know, you don't know, and you don't know what to expect from his next kickouts. And he was certainly put under pressure. Lavelle was put under pressure.
Did Roscommon maybe expose Galway around the middle third, as in they were a lot more mobile? Like, Roscommon won a lot of their own kickouts, and that was because they were going all over the place. Everybody was running. They went out to the wings. They picked it up wherever they could. And Smith did win it on top whenever he had to as well. But they really took Galway for a tour of the stadium.
Yeah, and the way the game is being played, you know, you expect, just because Galway have big men, big units, sometimes it doesn't make them the most mobile of teams, you know. And Roscommon have mobility in their teams. You know, even looking at Kilroy, who's number 11, he's a small boy, but, you know, he gets around the pitch. Yeah. So he does. He certainly gets around the pitch. And, you know, they've got an energy and a buzz about them, and they certainly had yesterday. Whether they can replicate that in Croke Park remains to be seen, but they had it yesterday. And, you know, Enda Smith, another player that we spoke about and listened to there as well, and, you know, he really led the charge for Roscommon and instilled the belief in them as well, because of his energy to get up and down the pitch, you know, cause havoc in round midfield, compete for ball, showed a hunger and desire. And one passage of play really epitomised Roscommon for me yesterday was late on in the game, when the number 20, their sub, come onto the field and hit one of the cleanest shoulders, you know, that we've seen this year, overturned the Galway defence, and away on the attack Roscommon went. And that was in the damn minutes when Roscommon had the upper hand, maybe 7 points up at that stage, but still showing the hunger and desire to overturn Galway at every opportunity.
I thought that one of the big differences was how Roscommon played against the wind. Like, they didn't really change how they were playing. They still found their full forward line. Now, I'm not a senior manager, you are. I was going to ask you, like, would you have pulled Damien Comer out so early in that instance? He came out around the field and then Galway lost their focal point inside.
Yeah, it's hard to know. You know, you don't know what's going through Kevin Walsh's head. You know, what he sees might maybe sway things back in Galway's favour. And at the end of the day, we are only watching it from TV point of view as well. So, well, I personally was only watching it on TV. So, you don't know really how badly affected the elements were and making a difference in the game. So, maybe sometimes you know, a manager feels the urge to make a change just for the sake of making a change, or making a switch just for the sake of it, and to try to get a reaction from his team. It didn't work yesterday for Galway, that's for sure. But you know, Roscommon definitely adapted better to playing against the wind than what Galway did. And there was one point, I think it was Enda Smith gave a fantastic ball, threaded into Connolly in the inside line. Once again, when they're under pressure, didn't take a solo, didn't take a bounce, turned left footed over the bar, and fantastic, absolutely fantastic. The only, you know, I suppose, downside to Connolly's game yesterday was the fact that he received a late black card. You know, because I thought he was fantastic. You know, he really led the inside line fantastically well for Roscommon yesterday.
Galway have Donegal now in the qualifiers, round 4. What do you think? You think it could be down the road for them?
It's hard to know, you know, can they get themselves up for this game? I think they're, by all accounts, they'll be given 2 weeks, will that be right?
Yeah,
so, you know, at least they have an opportunity. Yeah, they have an opportunity to maybe, you know, get over the disappointment of yesterday. But what you have to look at as well, Donegal are, you know, they've bounced back now, they've gone to Navan, they've got a great result there, a great victory, hard fought victory. You know, a last minute point by Paddy McBrady got them across the line, but that'll bring them on leaps and bounds. And, you know, Donegal and Galway, for me, you know, you still have to look at it and say that Donegal's probably the more experienced and better team at this particular point. You know, and how many times it's happened too often. They obviously work on it in training. Is Donegal how to score their goals? They obviously work on this time after time. And Ram McHugh in particular, he ghosts in behind the fences and he walks so many balls into the net and palms so many balls into the net that it has to be worked on time after time in training.
Interesting that you say that, because Donegal walked the ball into the net. Owen Ban-Gelher pops it across. Ryan McHugh just walks it in. You're right, and it does happen a lot. You go to the Clare Mayo game then on Saturday. Jamie Malone's running straight through. Owen Cleary's there. Yeah. I mean, I can't get it through my head. If he passes that ball, it's a definite goal. If he doesn't pass the ball, it's not a definite goal. So why would you take that risk?
Yeah, and so early in the game as well. You know, that was early in the match. Yep. If memory serves me correctly, yeah. Give the ball to the man in the best position. I would say, you know, if you work on something time after time, obviously Clare have not worked on going through like at their pace and laying the ball off. But if you know, I would imagine if Donegal did not score that ball, if that player didn't score the ball and he missed, I would say he'd be taken off straight away, because there's no doubt in my mind that it happens too often. That, you know, it can't be a coincidence. You know, just can't happen the odd time and they don't work on it. There's no doubt. Donegal working that time after time. And Ram McHugh is the best player, the best halfback in the country at ghosting in behind the fences and creating goal opportunities for himself. He's probably the best goal scoring halfback that we have in our game at the minute.
But what's the thinking? Because, like, don't get me wrong, Malone was brilliant yesterday and Saturday. His run was spectacular. He took it the whole way from the middle of the field. Like, Lee Keegan couldn't keep up with him. It was an unbelievable run straight through the middle. Why would he not pass that ball, knowing that if he passed it, they've definitely got a goal? Whereas if he doesn't, the logic doesn't add up. Now, well, he still would have got the credit as well for the run. Was he thinking, if I get the goal, it'll be...
Sometimes, and this is my own belief, players see their names in lights after a spectacular run like that there, and to see the big finish... Owen Mulligan-esque, you know, to see the big finish and they want to see their name in the papers the following day. You know, that's not what it's all about. It's about passing the ball to the guy in the best position. If you're running through the gap and you are the guy in the best position, yes, then take the chance and take the shot. But he wasn't the best. He wasn't the guy in the best position. Slip it, a wee left hand side pass, and it would have been palmed into the net. Goal. And that's it. You know, you move further away from Mayo, because Mayo were on the rocks at that stage.
They really were, and they're starting to question themselves. Like, and that's what they needed to do. Put them to the pin of the collar and say, do you have what it takes? They went on the 2 points ahead then at half time. They could have been 5, 6, 7 ahead, like,
absolutely,
the way they were going.
And it's a totally different game at that stage then.
But you're saying about seeing names and lights. Malone was always going to get credit. I mean, the headline wouldn't have said spectacular Owen Cleary goal. They would have all talked about that
driving run,
sensational run. Like, so what was the thing? Like, just pop it off, you still get the credit for it.
Listen, we are giving our own opinion on it. I'm believing that he probably seen his name up in lights. It might have been a totally different reason. He probably felt that he was to get in the best position. But, you know, looking at the, you know, we have the advantage of looking at analysis after the game and watching and seeing that there was a player off his shoulder who was a guy in the best position, who would have been able to do exactly what Ryan McHugh done in Navan the same night and just palm the ball into the net. But, you know, in the heat of the moment, you know, the way the pace of the game is being played at, you know, opportunities like that don't present themselves too often, so we probably believed that he was again in the best position. But at the end of the day, you know, it was a decision that he made, and, you know, you live and die by your decisions on the pitch, and you've got to just move on.
What did you think of Mayo in general? Because, like, I know people are saying they're not at it, they're not where they used to be, they're on the way down, but the way I see it is they have Aidan O'Shea playing like he's never been playing before.
Yeah.
If the rest of them catch up, then they're a completely different animal than they ever have been. Now, the rest of them do need to catch up, but they have this man in the middle of the field playing like a monster at the moment.
Okay, rewind the clock 12 months, and Fermanagh could have beat them in Castlebar last year. You know, they didn't go through the qualifiers playing exceptionally good football last year either. It was until the later stages of the championship that they actually found form, and I'm sure that the Mayo management team are more than happy with how they're performing. They're still getting results. You know, the next day out is obviously going to be a stiffer test or against Cork, which is going to be a tougher test.
Will that be a tougher test? I don't know.
But I think it will be a tougher test, believe it or not. But what it will do, if they manage to get across the line in that game, Cork, regardless of how they're performing, are still a big county and still a big team and a big scalp to take. So, you know, it could be the game that Mayo need at this particular time, and it could be the game that'll really drive them forward again. I still have no doubt in my mind that Mayo will be a last four team regardless, because they still have all the players there, they have the armour there to perform at the highest level. They've got the experience to get themselves there. You know, Derry put them to the pin of their collar two weekends ago. The weather, the storm there, to come out in the injury time and really pulverise Derry. Their erratic shooting almost cost them and left them out of the championship, but you know, they lived to see that through. At the weekend, Clare really put them to the pin of the collar, the weather, the storm there. So they're becoming more, I suppose, hardened in terms of grinding out championship results as well. So at the end of the day, it wouldn't be doing Mayo any good if they're absolutely annihilating teams this time at this stage of the season. You know, it's better for them to get good, tight, competitive games to make them, I suppose, even more battle hardened by the time the business end of the season comes around.
I'll tell you what else they have. I mean, no, I was focusing on Killian O'Connor and his missed chances, especially against Derry, but he's actually winning a lot of ball, more ball than people have normally given him credit for. And the goal against Derry, it was him that won it, popped it off the Loftus, screamer of a goal. Dermot O'Connor's goal against Clare, he won it, tight area as well, pops it off Dermot O'Connor, screamer of a goal, like that old textbook kick on the full forward, he pops it to a runner.
Yeah, listen, Killian O'Connor's their best forward, he's the marquee forward, and he's the guy that they look to get their scores at important stages of the game, but he's also their most intelligent forward. So he is, and he realises that, and so therefore he brings his teammates into play when the opportunity is there to bring the teammates into play. Yes, he gets more shooting opportunities than most, because at the end of the day, you know, you want to get the ball to your shooters, you want to get the ball to the guys that you trust most in front of goal, and he is that guy, and he plays that role sensibly too. You know, you look back at Bernard Brogan maybe 8-9 years ago when he really came to the fore in Dublin. You know, he started to become the player that was playing on the loop more often and playing more sensibly for the Dublin cause, and that brought his game to new levels. Killian O'Connor is starting to perform more like that. There, he's starting to think a wee bit more about his game, and you can see that in his game that he is starting to think a wee bit more about it. So it's not always about winning the ball and taking a man on and getting the score. It's about taking others into the game, making the defender think about, you know, how he's going to play it the next time you get a ball. And you know, that's the time then for a forward to really capitalise on how he's going to play any particular moment of the game.
And Kevin McLaughlin had an easy enough day out in Ennis. I don't think anybody bothered picking him up. It was crazy stuff. I mean, he's just waltzing around, and like Sean Collins followed him a few times, but I think that was more out of necessity than anything. They just seemed to have nobody tagging him, and he just sauntered around to 45 and picked off passes and scores.
Yeah, well, Kevin McLaughlin's not the type of player that you want to be leaving isolated, because he can thread passes, he has energy to get up and down the pitch, and he can take a score, as we've seen in the past as well. So, you know, from a Clare point of view, you know, they should have probably put somebody closer to him.
What's the thinking with Donal Vaughan? Like, he lined out now, he only got 4 minutes the last day he got a black card, but that's a couple of times now he's lined out seemingly in the forward line. Like, what's going on there? Like, what?
For me, Donal Vaughan should be 6. You know, I think Mayo.
What about Boyle, Durkin and Keegan?
I would put Keegan and Boyle on the wings and put Durkin maybe back.
Right? Would that not waste Durkin's?
Yeah, I know he's a brilliant player at driving forward, but so is Lee Keegan and so is Boyle. Maybe put Boyle back. You know, there is options there for him, but I still believe that Mayo are probably more solid at the back with Vaughan holding at the centre half back position as well. And not only that, you know, in the past as well, you look back to Donegal a few years ago, he's another player who can ghost in behind the fences and get goals as well from centre half back. You know, sometimes you mess with a player's head by throwing him in midfield or wing half forward or moving him around the pitch, taking him from 6 to number 5 or 7. I know if I was an experienced number 6, I don't want to be playing a 5 or 7, because I see myself then as a central player in the team, and that's... So maybe Donald Vaughan's head's being messed around with a wee bit too much by Stephen Rochford at the minute. So I would give him a more settled place in the team. Lee Keegan's not a 6. Lee Keegan's one of the best attacking wing halfbacks.
Yeah, well, he is back in the wing now, in fairness.
So, you know, but he was trialled at 6 there for a number of games. So, you know, put him in his best position. Put Donal Vaughan in his best position, which he's a stopper. He's a stopper. He's not the most outrageous and fantastic footballer and gifted footballer, but he's very effective for the Mayo cause when he plays at six.
All right, we'll leave it there. Good stuff, Stevie. Next up, we've got Darren Hughes from Monaghan.
Is the little dink fist pass from a crowded area into that D we're at home about where Bernard, I've talked to Bernard about, Bernard's very patient, but this little dink ball, you know, the one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken over, hits the ground and it bounces into a fella's chest and there's consternation then in around the D and in around that area. Watch for this in the semis and the final. Do you know what I'm talking about? That little fisted ball that's just bounced in a crowded area, but it gets to the
yeah,
body.
You have said it three times.
It's in around, but you're looking at me, you're looking
out
at
of
me
a crowded area, isn't
exactly. You're looking at me with such a confused head in you. It's like I was talking about you trying to get a point in coppers or something there in a crowded area. Yeah, watch for it.
Okay, I've got Monaghan man Darren Hughes on the line. Darren, these boys are slipping under the radar very nicely.
I suppose there's a bit of hype last week maybe with the Bounty Factor and the Wexford game, but here was a bit business as usual for us, getting down there, getting the job done, getting the win, and I suppose preparing now, as we found out this morning there with Carlo now, so it'll be a similar test for us away from home. So get back to training now tomorrow night and get recovered in that and get looking at Carlo to see what they can throw at us.
Have you seen much of Carlo? Like what do you make of them so far?
I suppose I've seen the Dublin game or the most of it, and here they put it up to the Dubs for 45-50 minutes and that, and I suppose it was always thought that the Dublin boys would pull away anyway, but I think Carlo they could take great credit from their performances that day, and they stood to them in their next couple of games and that. So here it'll not be simple, but as I suppose we have to focus on our own performance, probably after the defeat against Down, when we look back at video footage and that, we realise a couple of things that went wrong, and I suppose it was a bit iron and out there, a few problems, and thankfully we got through Saturday alright. Now, as I say, we'll get back to the training ground tomorrow night and prepare for the Carlo game.
Is it fair to say that game against Wexford was a bit of a backlash after the Down match?
Yeah, and I suppose from losing to Longford last year, we had realised that you can't take your eye off the ball. I suppose the Longford game last year, people say we were complacent, but we weren't. Like, we prepared for it as well as we could, but it was the fact we'd come off the back of 2 weeks against Donegal and we'd only the week to prepare for it, where we had a week to get the Down game out of the system this year and then a week to prepare for Wexford, which we found very beneficial. So here it was, I suppose, if you want to call it a backlash, but it was us proving to ourselves that we haven't gone away and they're still kicking us.
And what was the mood like after the Down game? Because obviously the narrative afterwards was how great it was for Down and how brilliant they were, but what was it like in the Monaghan camp?
Here, the dressing room for 10 minutes afterwards wasn't a great place to be, but here we never underestimated Down. On paper, we knew they were better than Cavan and Fermanagh, but people didn't give Down a chance against us and were giving Cavan and Fermanagh a glimmer of hope. So we knew we had our work cut out. And here, Down had their homework done. They sussed us out in the middle third on our own kickouts and on their kickouts. Like, we fell by the wayside. And here, we could have snuck it, but we wouldn't have deserved it. We were second best in the day, and Down were fully deserved winners. So, as I say, we've got a chance to look back. We've seen the areas where we were poor in, and it was about eradicating them problems, and I suppose we got a chance against Wexford, and I suppose we blew them away after 20-25 minutes. And as you said, it was sort of half a backlash, but it was to prove to ourselves that, like, we didn't want our summer finishing in the first week of July.
And what were the problems against Down that you would have spotted?
Break ball in the middle third. We were too isolated. Was the biggest thing, and give Down a platform for too many attacks. Left our defence too open would have been the biggest thing we took away from it. So, as I said, we seen that afterwards, and we should be fit to suss them things out in the pitch at the time. I suppose the intensity, and of an Ulster Championship semi final, you don't see these things. And as I say, we could have snuck it, but wouldn't have deserved it. Down with the better team on the day, and here, sometimes you just have to suck that up and go again.
What about yourself, Darren? Because obviously you didn't play the Fermanagh match, you came on very late against Cavan, you played the whole game against Down, and then I think you came on after 50 minutes there on Saturday. Is it still a knee injury, or what's the story?
I suppose I was fully recovered from the knee injury against Down, and the Down game happened to be the way it went. I suppose I probably wasn't meant to play 70 minutes in it, but I felt good
But I didn't feel so good for a week or so afterwards. I had a couple of niggles and that. So it was my first 70 minutes in 3 months from the second last league game. So it was a bit managing a few re-injuries just coming into Wexford, and it was felt that it was better not to start. And I still needed to get minutes into the legs because I'd be, I suppose, lagging behind the rest of the boys in terms of match fitness. So it was about managing the injury as best possible and still fit to get a bit of fitness into the legs. Looking forward to next week.
Is that frustrating you a little bit? Because obviously, like, you know, you've done most things that you could do now in this sport, but you still don't have an all-star, even though your name, I'd say, is, you know, it's a household name at this stage.
Yeah, like,
you know,
I don't all-stars be the least of my worries. I suppose as long as the team's doing well here, in a sense, it's disappointing. My championship run has been disjointed, but the team has been doing well. But where I was at the start of April with the knee injury, I thought 2017 was a write-off because I didn't foresee much light at the end of the tunnel until he got to the specialist and that, and they said it was a 10 to 12 week injury. So I knew I put the head down and knuckled down then to give myself the best chance, because here I knew we had a great squad and I wasn't going to be the be-all or end-all that was going to make a defining difference in where or somewhere was going to go. So it was about getting myself in as good a shape as possible and having as much of an impact, positive impact on the team as I could.
Is this team a little bit different or even better than what it has been in the last few years? It seems like you've got a lot more options from the bench and all over the pitch, even like Fintan Kelly's chipping him with a goal there the other day, but it's not the only time. Like, I saw him and Ryan Wiley were through against Down as well. Like, there seems to be a lot more sort of potency from all over.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's surprising to us that it probably took Fintan as long to get his first goal, because he's getting into them situations a lot, and when we look back at the video analysis and after games and that, we never seem to see him. So that goal was coming for him. But yeah, we'd like to think we're in a stronger position. I suppose we're in our fifth year now under Maliki and his backroom team, and we'd like to see, like, we definitely haven't regressed in a year. Like, we might have plateaued an odd time, but we felt last year was definitely disappointing, but we stayed in Division 1, which was a big thing. It was a struggle, but we stayed there, and we felt on the back of a under 21 championship winning team that there was the nucleus of experience and older players there, and then with young boys coming through, and we just felt it was too much to throw away. We know the management set up and everything we have. So here we got back in November and we knuckled down and we didn't talk much about the year ahead. We knew how to get a good training base in, and here you're in the middle of July already playing football, so anything can happen from here on in.
It's interesting you say that, because I was just going to ask you about, say, the difference between what you've had to do and another team. Like, so you look at it, Monaghan have won 3 games already and you're in round 3. Galway have won 1 game and they're in round 4. Now, there's nothing you can do about it, I get that, but does that imbalance annoy you a little bit?
5 or 6 years ago, this is an ongoing occurrence. Yeah, it would have, sure, here. Whoever wins Munster gets a clean run. Like, it's usually Kerry or Cork, obviously. So they're getting a clean run to August, with maybe that not that much training done. Roscommon have played Leitrim, and they're guaranteed. Like, getting to your provincial final is a big thing, because it guarantees you last 12. I know it's hard sometimes when you lose and to regroup, but if you're targeting serious championship football, that's where you want to be. And I suppose Connacht and Munster have that, but here, that's the way it is. Here, we know in Ulster there's no simple games, and you know, the path is laid out for you from early on in the year, or actually the November the draw is in. So here, there's nothing you can do about it. You have to set yourself up as best possible for it. But as I say, we have 3 wins under our belt already, and we're as far back as any of the teams that have won 1 or 2 games. So here, that's our own fault too. If you beat Down, you're guaranteed into the last 12. It is what it is. It definitely needs to change in the very near future, but that's not up to me or you to decide, Conan.
What way would you change it, though, if it was?
I think, like, the calendar has to be scrapped completely and just started from scratch. Like, you have to take on minors, under 21, Sigerson into consideration as well. And the club is the big one. The club is suffering at the minute, probably. We don't be too bad in Monaghan, because we're probably smaller amount of clubs, and it's well run. Like, we've half the league played off there already and that, and we don't foresee the problems that most counties foresee. But I think it's too long. You look at, say, Roscommon, for example, played last league game maybe 11 weeks ago, was it 10, 11
yeah,
weeks
11,
ago?
Yeah.
And all they had was Leitrim in between to get to a provincial final. It's no fault of theirs, but it's just the system. It's an unfair system for the All-Ireland series. So it is that you have to use your provincial to get into it. So here, I think the Champions League format's as good a system as any to level the playing field. And it's just, there is that imbalance for, I suppose, the Ulster teams trying to prolong their season, that they have a right bit of work done already before. Like, if you get to an Ulster quarter semi-final, say, you're in the round to the qualifiers and you're sitting before they're on in some of the Connacht and Munster teams.
And like, how would you boys feel, I suppose, like, if you do get over Carlow, like, would you still feel fresh enough? You'd have 5 games under the belt in the Championship before you even play. It would look like maybe Kildare if they got beat by Dublin. Now, it's all ifs and buts. But
we're not going to complain at the end of July if you're still playing Championship football. We're right now, this time last week, sitting on a high stool complaining about what we could have and should have done, and that was no good to us. So here, it's the position you're in. If you weren't playing matches, you'd be training hard, so I'd far rather be playing than training. So here, I don't think any of us are in a position to complain if we're playing Championship football latter end of July coming into August. Like, it's where you want to be, it's where you go back in the cold winter nights, I suppose, and that's just all about getting to Croke Park, and we know we've a long road yet to get there, but we're on the right path at the minute.
Yeah, and how do you find the farming when you're trying to train for the county as well? Like, does it get in the way, or does it help?
No, I think it's great. You're my own boss. I can come and go as I please. Like, I wouldn't like to be sitting behind a computer from 9 to 6 every day and then have to hop in the car down the road. I'm sort of flexible in my hours, and here it does be strenuous by times early on in the year. And Malachy and them understand that and get a bit of leeway sometimes if the pressure comes on. But it's no different to any man. Sometimes it's a walk. If they have to go and walk, or the pressure's on at walk, you have to do it. No, I don't mind it here. I was brought up in it, I suppose, I know no different, and that's the lifestyle I have, and I find it suits me great. As I say, I can come and go as I please, and still have dad there at home, so he's fit to look after the thing if I have to go away for weekends or anything. So no, it doesn't affect it too badly.
And would it help with the conditioning work? Like, would you have to do less gym work than other boys, or does it actually get in the way of doing that stuff?
I suppose I don't think it does. Like, I still do the same strength and condition programme as the rest of the boys, and I'm no better or worse than the middle core boys that's at it. So I don't think it makes that much difference. People would probably say there's a bit of ignorance involved in it and that, but I don't think, still lifting the same weight as most of the boys and doing the same stuff, so it's not affecting me that much differently.
And what will you be doing for the Ulster final on Sunday? Like, where would you watch it? Who would you watch it with?
I mightn't even watch it, to be honest. No, I haven't much planned. It's not high on the agenda to watch now this weekend, I don't think. Just sure enough watching them by times when you're not involved. So, I don't know. I might see what's happening. See how Saturday goes first. And I don't know if you might meet up and watch it or that. But, as I say, it's not overly high on the agenda this weekend.
You watching golf or something else?
I don't know what I'll watch. Might go and walk around the fields or something. So,
well, here, thanks very much, Darren. Thanks.
Jealousy's an awful thing. I'm sorry, Conan.
I'll see you later on.
All right, cheerio. Bye.
Somebody said it's as ugly as Marty Morris here for bots.
We probably, in fairness, he wouldn't know a penalty if it bit him in the arse. I mean,
what is the point of this? They swear allegiance to the cult of Kieran.
But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
Is managing Mead at some stage in for the rest of your life a pebble in your shoe that you want to get out?
No, I think I've got over that.
Have you?
If I went to do that, sure, who'd keep manners on Joe Brawley on the Sunday game? And you couldn't expose the nation to him on his own, could you?
All right, Stevie, performance of the week. Got 3 nominations here. You have one from Westmeath Armagh.
Yeah, the one from Westmeath Armagh, because I was at the game, would go to one of the most dangerous full forwards in the game, John Heslin. I thought he was a handful for the Armagh rear guard for the majority of that match. Yes, he kicked a number of frees, but you know, when the ball went in there, your heart was always beating a wee bit faster, expecting something to happen. So John Heslin, I think he ended up scoring 6 or 7 points as well.
I have Aidan O'Shea marked down here. Like, the lads were saying in the Sunday game, like Colin Cooper and Mossy Quinn, they were saying he should be in full forward. I can't get my head around that thinking, because he was super again in the middle of the pitch, and he was a sort of difference, because Clare had a real stranglehold in that game. Gary Brennan was running riot again. It was like a steam train going in the other direction, and then it was almost like Aidan O'Shea just rerouted the tracks and put everything towards the Clare goal.
It's like Michael Murphy with Donegal. There's a conundrum with those type of players. You know, you'd love to play them midfield, but you'd also love them have them at yeah. number 11 and number 14. They have that much of an influence on how their teams perform. For me, I would tend to agree with the Gooch, believe it or not. I would love to see Aidan O'Shea in a corner forward or full forward. I think the likes of Killian O'Connor would really reap the rewards playing off a player of his ability inside. And, you know, when he's shown serious form at the minute, you know, he certainly has the confidence and the belief in himself, then why not try him in front of goals and see what damage he can cause in there?
What does Stevie McDonald and the Gooch know, eh? I'm telling you, play him midfield.
Well, I would love to be one corner and have the Gooch the other corner, and we could play off Aidan O'Shea.
I actually think the Tipperary team deserve a mention here. I mean, that's some result. They came from six down in Cavan. I mean, it just, Liam Cairns just seems to get these boys real sort of united, and they always look to be having great crack, and everything's no bother to them at all. Like, and they're on the road again.
And that's the thing with Tipperary. You know, I was listening to the first half analysis on the radio of the match, and you know, Cavan by all accounts were totally dominant. You know, went in, I think it was 6 points up at half time, but Tipperary have proved in the past that they're never out of it. You know, and Armagh built up a lead against them in the National League this year, but they have serious belief in their own ability to get themselves clawed away back in games and see it through. And they've got some of the best forwards in the game at the minute on form. Connor Sweeney's playing exceptionally good football. So, you know, he's really stepping up to the mark in the last couple of games, you know, particularly because Quinlivan has been out injured. And, you know, him coming back into the team now is going to add an extra dimension to Tipperary. So, you know, being 6 points down at half time and winning as convincingly as what they've done against Cavan, and I can assure you that Breffni Park is no easy place to go to and get a result, is a fantastic achievement from Tipperary. I loved how Conor Sweeney took his penalty. I thought it was a fantastic penalty right in the corner, and just showing the coolness and calmness to stroke at home.
Yep, although it has to be one person, and not just because he took a call, has to be Enda Smith. I mean, his performance was super. Like, he won so many balls in the air, as I said already. His defensive work was incredible, but going forward as well, head down straight for the post every single time. It was a real inspiring performance. Anywhere he got the ball, he squared up and he was going for the jugular, no matter where in the pitch he was.
Yeah, he showed tremendous energy throughout that match, and he showed a belief and, you know, a confidence in his own ability to go and outperform any Galway marker that was put onto him. But what I really loved about Enda Smith's performance was, for a 22-year-old lad, you know, he showed leadership qualities. He stood up to the mark. You know, he was a young lad that maybe has had experiences of winning finals in the past, disappointed after last year's defeat, but really wanted to rectify that this year and really led the charge for Roscommon. And, you know, their 9-point victory owes a lot to how Enda Smith performed.
All right, congratulations, Enda. Just one announcement to make before we finish. The GAAR is having another live show in Newbridge and Kildare on Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. in Judge Roy Beans. I've never been there, but it sounds like an amazing spot. You'll be glad to hear Wooly will be back for that as well, so we might actually get a crowd in. I can't really imagine the numbers dropping here when they heard my voice.
Wooly and Kildare mightn't go down too well, but you know, I'm sure he'll have enough followers coming from Laois maybe.
Do you know he's won an All-Ireland final with Laois Minors?
He's never said that.
Alright, good luck, see you later.
Yet it took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.